Vipralato
Mahishevam
Sarva Prakriti
Manchita
Naichan
Anuparoti
Agya
Klaidya
Kira
Vrigo
Vipralabdho
Mahishevam
Sarva Prakriti
Vanchita
Nechan Anukaroti Agya
Nechan
Anukaroti Agya
Klaidya
Krida Mrigo Yatha Vipralabdho Mahishevam
yatha
just like
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Translation. In this way, the king Purandana was captivated by his nice wife and was thus cheated. Indeed, he became cheated in this world, in this whole existence in the material world. Even against that poor foolish king's desire, he remained under the control of his wife, just like a pet animal that dances according to the order of its master. Translated responsibly.
In this way,
King Purandana was captivated by his nice wife. And was thus cheated. Indeed, he became cheated in his whole existence. In the material world. Even against that poor king and foolish king's desire. He remained under the control of his wife. Just like a pet animal. That dances according to the order of its master. Purport. The word Viparlada is very significant in this verse. V means specifically, and Prahlada means obtained. Just to satisfy his desires, the king got a queen. And thus he became cheated by material existence. Although he was not willing to do so, he remained a pet animal under the control of material intelligence. Just as a pet monkey dances according to the desire of its master, the king danced according to the desire of the queen. In Srimad Bhagavatam 5.52, It says, Mahatsevam dwara apurma vimukthai. If one associates with the saintly person, a devotee, one's path of liberation becomes clear. But if one associates with a woman or a person who is too addicted to woman, his path of bondage becomes completely clear. On the whole, for a spiritual advancement, one must give up the company of woman. This is what is meant by the order of sannyas and the renounced order. Before taking sannyas, a complete renouncing the material world, one has to practice avoiding illicit sex. Sex life. Illicit or illicit is practically the same, but through the illicit sex one becomes more and more captivated. By regulating one's sex life, there is a chance that one may eventually be able to renounce sex or renounce the association of a woman. In this, if this can be done, advancement in the spiritual life becomes very easy. Comes very easily. How one becomes captivated by association of one's dear wife is example in this chapter by Narada Muni. Attraction for a one's wife means attraction for the material qualities. One who is attracted by the material quality of darkness in the lower stage of life, whereas one who is attracted by the material qualities of goodness is in a better position. Sometimes we see that when a person on the platform of material goodness, he is attracted more or less by the cultivation of knowledge. This is, of course, a better position For knowledge gives one a preference to accept devotional service. Unless one comes to the platform of knowledge, the Brahma Bhuta states, one cannot advance in devotional service. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma Bhuta Kushanatma Nasuti Nakamchati Samaha Sarvesu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Kulavate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service to me. A platform of knowledge is advantageous because it is a mean by which one may become one may come to the stage of devotional service. However, if one takes the devotional service directly, knowledge is revealed without separate endeavor. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.27. Vasudeva Bhagavati, Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayati Asu Vairagyam, Jnanam Cha, Yat Ahitupim. A devotional service automatically reveals actual knowledge of our material existence. One who is sufficiently intelligent immediately attains the stage of renunciation of so called society, family, and love, as well as other things. As long as we are attached to a society, family, and love of the material world, there is no question of knowledge. Nor is the question of devotional service. By directly taking a devotional service, however, one becomes filled with the knowledge and renunciation. In this way, one's life becomes successful. Thus ends Bhaktivedanta purport of the 4th canto, 25th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Description of the Characteristics of King Puranjana. Om Adhyanati Vyantasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunvitanvena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakara Mayam Dadati Swapanantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Shah Sri Upam Sarvajatam Sarvana Raghunatham Vitam Tanshukitam. Sadvitam Sarvadukam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sarvana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Shah. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी कृष्णानुषे देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय पंचकल्पतृभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यः जगत्कानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Upam Kurti Vasana, Puna Gaiti Grinyatra Vatam, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So this is very, very wonderful chapter. How the conversation between Narada Muni and Prithvinivari is taking place. So we have completely ended the chapter 25. This is the very first chapter. That Narada Muni is the conversation between Narada Muni and Prithvinivari is taking place. Now, Prithvinivari is. As we have come to the end of the chapter, so I thought that maybe we'll just like a summarize or overview of the whole chapter, what we actually learned in this chapter. So And then also we'll discuss the some of the points that Prabhupada has discussed in the purport of this particular verse. So as we understand, the Vrajini Bali is the coming in the lineage of Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, if we see the holy lineage, all the way starting from Brahma, Swayam Guru Manu, Swayam Guru Manu's son is Uttarapada's son is Guru Maharaj. So the lineage goes on, so the Guru Maharaj, the Puthkala, Vatsala, Pushparna, Sarvateja, Chakshusha Manu is also coming in this line, Ulmukha, Anga, Vena, Prithu Maharaj, and then Vijitashva, Antadhyana, his son is Havedan, and then we come to Prachinivari. So this is in the line of Guru Maharaj's coming lineage. And Prachinivari shall have 10 sons. So previous chapter, we heard how the Prachetas, the 10 sons were named Prachetas. So Prachetas were instructed by his father Prachinivari to go and perform an austerity in order to propagate the, because they are like Prajapati. Prajapati means those who are responsible to propagate the universe. So before you start propagating, so they were instructed to do some austerity, purify yourself, and then do that duty. So they have gone to do austerity in the lake. In that, Lord Shiva, he comes to them and instructs, the whole Rudra Gita was narrated in the previous chapter. So now the king Prachinivari is back in the palace, and what happens? Narada Muni comes. Yes. Narada Muni comes, and knowing the fact this king is so much indulged in the karmakanda rituals. Now, what is karmakanda? Productive activities, yes. And what is the outcome of the karmakanda?
Bondage to material world.
Bondage and temporary, and again return to the birth and death.
Yes. Karmakanda is a pious activity. It's a positive activity. But however, it has a limitation. Karmakanda gives you, it goes up to the bodily level. It may also give you a future enjoyment or something that you do, you collect pious activities. The ultimate goal of a karmakanda, it still keeps you in this material world. You may receive a highest enjoyment in the highest planet, but that still is temporary because it's within the realm of this universe, this time. So it's temporary, even though it may have the enjoyment for millions of years, but it has an end, right? So therefore, karmakanda, as our Vaishnava Acharya is saying, is not the highest. In performing karmakanda rituals, one of the things also animal sacrifice. So the king Prachinivari was very much indulged in that particular specific animal sacrifices. So being compassionate, Narada Muni comes to King Prachinivari and tells him, look, what he says. In text 4, Narada Muni asks King Prachinivari, says, my dear king, what do you desire to achieve by performing these fruitive activities, karmakanda? The chief aim of life is to get rid of all this material enjoyment and happiness, but those two things cannot be materialized by fruitive activities. So Narayana is saying, you're doing this work, but however, it's not the best. Then, knowing the position of Narada Muni, of course, he's a greatly saintly person, and King Parchinibar is actually now swelled as asks, my dear Narada Muni, please instruct me, I'm ignorant. He surrenders to Narada Muni. Then, Narada Muni also does a very special thing to King Parchinibar, that he actually, through his mystic power, able to sow all those animals that he has killed. So the king actually can see that these animals are waiting for him to actually kill them or do in the next life. That's so then, Narada Muni now he's speaking to the emperor of the world. And he didn't want to be direct. So what he's doing is very tactfully giving a story of a King Puranjana. It's allegorical. Allegorical means it's not a true, it's not a factual, but it's a made up story. In order to teach, it's like an example, in order to teach the same message, but it's not giving it directly, oh King Parchinibari, you are you're performing this, all this activity, you're going to be a sinful, why are you doing this? He's not going that direction. So he's going very tactfully, presenting this story of King Puranjana. So, from text 13 onwards, he narrates the story of King Puranjana. He says, once, while wandering this way, so this is a King Puranjana, my dear king, once in the past lived a king who named Puranjana, who was celebrated for his great activities. He had a friend named Abhigya, the unknown one. No one could understand the activity of Abhigya. And does anyone know who's Narayana referring to? Abhigya is? Super soul, Paramatma. So now Puranjana is a living entity. You could also say it's all any living entity. Narada Muni is actually telling the story of by the name of Puranjana of Parchinibari himself. It's just another name for them. It's also a living entity. Anybody could be applied to. So Abhigya is super soul. Once while wandering this way, he saw a southern side of the Himalaya in a place named Bharatvarsha. The city had 9 gates, all about that characterized by the auspicious festivities. Now, Narada Muni is now city of 9 gates. Does anyone know what city of 9 gates is referring to? Body. Yes, our body. Also in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also mentions city of 9 gates in chapter 5, text number 13. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasaste sukham vasi nava dvara dvare pure dehi. Krishna also mentioned the same thing. Navadvara Pura Dehi means 9 gate, the city of 9. Nava means 9 gates. So if we see the teachings in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, is Krishna gives all these instructions. Whereas in Srimad Bhagavatam, each of these instructions is given an elaboration. It gives you more details. Where Krishna gives in Srimad Bhagavad Gita says, now surrender to me. It doesn't really tell you how to surrender. Whereas in Srimad Bhagavatam we see so many of the examples of how the great personalities like Amrish Maharaj, Maharaj Parikshit, they have performed the devotional service, how they surrender. So Srimad Bhagavatam elaborates on what the basic teachings of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in more details. So, what are the 9 gates? It was great hand. Yes, my dear. Sorry? Yes, all the openings of the which has a hole, which you know you can take intake something, right? These are the 9 gates. So 9 gates are
2 eyes,
2 nostrils,
2
ears, mouth, genital, and rectum. So there is it. So Navadwara Pure Dehi, Pura city of 9 gates. That's so it's 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, 1 mouth, genital and rectum. It has 9 gates. In text 14, it says the city was surrounded by walls, parks, and within its were towers, canals, windows and outlets. The houses were decorated with domes made of gold, silver, and iron. Now, so city had a wall. Wall is referring to a skin of the body. City is the body, the wall is skin, parts is hair in the body. Towers, nose, and head is referring to a tower. Canals, different wrinkles in the body, is referring to as a canal. Outlets, these are the outlets, the different outlets you see in 9 gates, the outlets. Windows, 2 eyes, it's like window, you can see. And dome made of gold, silver, and iron. Any guess? Three modes of material nature. Goodness is like gold, passion as iron, silver, and ignorance as iron. Very lesson teaching. It's very wonderful how it's explained. The floor of the house and the city were made of sapphire, crystal, diamond, pearls, emeralds, and rubies. Which of the because of the luster of the houses in the capital city, the city was compared to a celestial town known as Bhogavati. Now, what are these different decorative items it's referring to? Any guess? These are our plans to enjoy the material enjoyments. Different attractive, like emeralds, gold, the sapphire, what are they? They're very glittering, very, gives you allure. So what are they compared to? This is the plan for the material enjoyment. These are referred to that. In that city, there were many assembly houses, street crossing, streets, restaurants, gambling houses, markets, resting place, flags, festoons, and beautiful parks. All these surrounded the city. Assembly houses are giving us heart. Street crossings are different types of air that flowing. Restaurants, gambling houses, marketplace, different attractive. This is a place for a different attraction for enjoyments. Resting place is the body, flag and the festoons, the palm and the sole of the feet, garden and or nice solitary place is the favorable condition surrounding the sex impulse. What a description. It's in such atmosphere, even the animals of the forest became non-violent and non-envious. Does anyone know what animals are referring to here now? Non-violent animals?
Family members,
children, all this, it's referring to now as a non-violent animals. Consequently, the animals did not attack anyone. Over and above, everything was cooing of the cuckoos. Every life. Any passenger passing along the path was invited by the atmosphere to take rest in the nice garden. What's nice garden?
Family house.
While wandering here and there in that wonderful garden, King Purandana suddenly came in contact with a very beautiful woman who was walking there without any engagement. She had 10 servants with her, and each servant had hundreds of wives accompanying him. Now, what's beautiful women is referring to here?
Intelligence
of the body, huh? And 10 servants?
Senses.
10 senses. Yes. And each servant had hundreds of wives. What is it referring to?
Desires
of enjoyment. So they have 10 servants. The wife is referring to intelligence. Intelligence has 10 servants, which are the senses. Because intelligence controls the senses. And all the desires that is emanating or coming from these senses is referring to servant of the woman or intelligence. Text number 21, it says, the woman was protected by all sides by a five-footed serpent. Sorry, five-footed snake. She was very beautiful and young, and she appeared very anxious to find a suitable husband. Now, any guess for what five-footed serpent is? Serpent? Snake? Five types of air that flows within our body. Prana, huh? Prana, apana, dhyana, samana, udana. These are five types of body that flows in the body. What is prana? Prana is the air. All air is referring to as a prana, overall. Pranas, huh? Specifically, prana also has a various function. Prana, air, is in the heart, the region of the heart, where soul and super soul flow. It's like even when the body passes, we said prana has gone. So super soul and the soul, it's not touching this gross blood in the heart. What is it? Blood? Muscles? So the residing place for a soul and super soul is the floating within the prana. That's why when we say prana has gone, means that life in that particular area. All five airs are known as prana, but specifically prana is also one of the air. And then there's another air called a apana. Apana air is that all the air that flows downwards. That is apana. There is another air called dhyana, means when you shrink and expand, that air that which functions in that thing is called dhyana. And there is another air called samana. Samana means that the which controls the body where you are able to manage or what it does is equilibrium. Means which body controls the body, you will move your function. Huh? That's called samana vayu. And then we have udana vayu. Udana vayu is that flows upward. So prana, prana, apana, dhyana, samana, udana. These five. So that is refers as five-footed snake. And a beautiful woman? A beautiful woman is the opposite of the sense enjoyment by the mind and senses. King Purandana approached her and asked her, said, my dear lotus eye, now King Purandana has met this beautiful woman. Now she's approaching her. Says, my dear lotus eye, who are these 11 strong bodyguards with you? Who are those 10 specific servants? Who are those women following 10 servants? And who are the snakes preceding you? So it says, mention she had 11 strong bodyguards. Any guess? 10 senses and mind is the bodyguard of the body. Wives of mentioned here is like a desire. It's multiple wives of those servants is desires. And snake is a like force. So then the whole conversation takes place between this King Puranjana and the woman he has met. And of course he glorifies this whole conversation. I won't go into detail much. Then finally, what happens? They agree, they like each other, glorify each other, they get married, and they are now settled as husband and wife. And they also now, husband and wife, what happens? The kids also born. So now, Nargon is telling this whole allegorical story in this form of King Puranjana and she is known as Puranjani, which we'll get to hear later on. And so now they met, they got married, have kids, so on and so forth. Now, Nargon is going to go into a little more in details of describing the nine gates of this. So in text 45 to 54, Narmuni gives a little more descriptive details of these nine gates. Of those nine gates in the city, seven were on the surface, two were subterraneans. A total of nine doors were constructed, and these led to different places. All gates were used by a city's governor. Whose city's governor? Is Puranjana. So what are the seven gates of the body situated upwards? Two eyes, same thing. So in text number 647, Arjuna explains, gives them a name. Of each gates. Two gates, which is eyes, name Khadyota, which means blower, and Abhimukhi, which means torchlights. So like blower, which is also has got a light, and another one is torchlight, also Abhimukhi is in Sanskrit. Which is situated facing eastern side. The eyes were facing eastern side. Through those two gates, the king used to go to a city called Vivrajita. Vivrajita means the ability to see clearly. That's the name. Narmuni again is creating this nice, wonderful story, giving these names and beauty. It's a different style of preaching, a different method of explaining the meaning. You just keep making it all allegorical. So now, what are they to do? He used to go to this through these two gates. He used to go to the city called Vivrajita, means ability to see clearly, accompanied by a friend whose name was Juman. Juman is sunlight. For the eyes to see, you require light. It's just not only is giving another name, it's just giving his name, Juman.
Juman,
yes. Similarly, in the east, there were two sets of gate, Nalini and?
Nalini
and Nalini.
Nose.
Nak.
Nostrils.
So what did the Nalini gave names? Nalini and Nalini, referring to? Two nose. Beautiful. Through these gates, King, accompanied by a friend named Avadhuta. What's Avadhuta? Avadhuta is air. Accompanied by air because we breathe in and out. That's why. And he used to go to a city called Saurabha. Saurabha is referring to a different aromas. Aroma. So Nalini using what? What is the word function? Is this breathing in and out? And also smell different aromas. Right? So what is the city called? Saurabha or Aroma. Text 49. The fifth gate situated in the eastern side was named Mukhya. Mouth. Which is fifth gate. So we have two eyes, two nose, that's four. Fifth is?
Mouth.
So they are all facing?
East.
East. Fifth gate situated on the eastern side was named Mukhya, or the chief. Through this gate, accompanied by a friend named Rasagya. Rasagya is? Taste. Or? In other words?
Tongue.
It's a very good tongue. And Vipana. Vipana means taste. So Rasagya is referring to tongue, Vipana is referring to taste. So what are the functions of the inside the mouth? Two functions. Taste, also speech, of course. And he used to visit the two places named Bahudana. Bahu means many, dana means grains. In other words, it means food, grains or food stuff. And Apana. Apana means a speech. So, now, fifth gate, Mukhya, through the mouth, what is its function? Tasting, speaking, and food stuff. That's the function of the mouth. The southern gate of the city was known as Prithu. Now we're going to read. Now we're going to cover the face, which is the east facing us. So they have two eyes, two nose, and mouth, which are facing this fifth. And the southern gate of the city known as Prithu, right here. And through this gate, the King Paranjana used to visit the city named Dakshina. Panchala. Dakshina means right. Panchala means? Panchala has many meanings. One of the meaning is the style of singing. Panchala. And it's on the which referring to, again, hearing. If you hear singing, which refers to hearing, no? So Dakshina, Panchala, accompanied by a friend called Srutadhara, means that which can retain, whichever is heard,
yes.
Can retain, is called Srutadhara. In this way, in this purport, Prabhupada makes a point. He says, the right ear is used for a karmakandiya, or fruitive activities. As long as one is attached to enjoyment of material resources, he hears from the right ear and use the five senses to elevate himself to higher planetary system. like the Triloka. Consequently, the right ear is here described as Prithu gate. It's also referring to like going to the higher planet, like Pitriloka, and all that. That's right, to the right ears. So we have now covered the southern-south side, now coming to north side. On the north side was a gate named Devahu, higher planet, or Devahu means higher planets. Through this gate, through that gate, King Purandara used to go to his wife Srutadhara, to the place known as Uttara Panchala. So now Dakshin, and now it's referring to south. Uttara means north. Uttara Panchala. Panchala again means the style of singing. That's again hearing. So both function of the left and right ears is hearing. Prabhupada makes another point here. This for the north, the left hand ear. He says the ear on the northern side, however, is used to taking initiation from a spiritual master and for a gaining a promotion to spiritual world. This is Prabhupada's purpose.
Nivartima.
Sorry?
Nivartima.
Nivartima. Yes. Nivartima. Yes. Text 52. On the western side, now we have finished here, east, west, and east, and north, and south. Now we're going to western side. On the western side was a gate named Asuri. Through this gate, King Purandara used to go to a city called Gramaka, accompanied by the friend Durmada. Very Gramaka, Durmada, it's like very. So Asuri, what Asuri referring to?
Demonia.
It's referring to a genital. So the name is given Asuri, which means demonia. Through this gate, the king used to go to a city called Gramaka. Gramaka, the meaning of Gramaka means a gratification or gratifying your that. So, accompanied by a friend Durmada, or this Durmada, we have said two words. Dur means dusta or sinful. Mada means mad. So, Durmada. So, the act through the genital is basically is sinful. I mean, it's sex, it's lust. What is describing is a lust, isn't it? It's sinful, which can be which is done through this genital. Prabhupada gives you explanation of this on this purport of the fifth text 52. He says the gate on the western side is a city known as Asuri because it's especially meant for the Asuras. The word Asuras refers to those who are interested in sense gratification, specifically in sex life, to which they are overly attached. Thus, Purandara, the living entity, enjoys himself to the greatest satisfaction by means of genital. Consequently, he used to go to a place known as Gramaka, or the place where his gratification is. Material sense gratification is also called Gramya, and the place where the sex life is indulged to into a great extent is called Gramaka. One going to Gramaka, Purandara used to accompany by his friend called Durmada, which is sinful and mad. Very graphical description, isn't it? Text 53. Another gate. Now one more left. So we finished 8. So this is the ninth one. So another gate in the western side is known as Niriti. Neriti means painful. How do you say painful? King Purandana used to go through this gate to the place known as Vaisasa, accompanied by a friend Lutaka. Lutaka is Greek. So that is referring to Raptor. So this is the, see what Krishna explained, Krishna gave us, it says Navadvara Pura Dehi. He gives us the city of 9 gates. Whereas Narada now elaborating on this 9 gates, giving the name, making it like this is what Srimad Bhagavatam says. Yes, it gives the elaboration of the what in given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, very condensed. In Bhagavatam it gives more the elaboration. If Prabhupada makes this point, the point in this regard, this is a friend of the living entity who accompanied through him in this gate is named Lutaka, which means greed. Due to our greed, we eat unnecessarily, and such gluttony causes a pain at the time of evacuation. The conclusion is that the living entity feels well if evacuated properly. This gate is known as Niriti or painful gate. Wow. We finish the 9 gates. Now let's move on quickly. Text 54. Now it's moving on to it says of the main inhabitants of the city, these are two persons named Nirvak. Means Nirvak. Means one who cannot talk, speak. Yes. Nirvak. Two persons named Nirvak, cannot speak. And Pesakrit, which means blind. So which is referring to arms and legs for the body. So one cannot speak, one cannot see.
They are no use.
Yes. So this is the hands and legs of the Prabhupada makes one. This is a reference to the arms and legs of the living entity. Two legs cannot speak, and two legs or arm cannot speak or see. It's Nirvak, maybe. Sometimes he used to go to the private home with one of the chief servants. Chief servant is mind. Who was named as Vishuchina. I was looking at the in the dictionary trying to find out what Vishuchina means. One of the meaning for Vishuchina is a restless deer. It's referring to. Deer has got a very flip, with the body which is, he can run fast, he's just
jumping
and moving. So that is what it's referring to as Vishuchina. It means it's something mind. Mind is there, very flickering. You can just imagine, you're sitting here, you think of my home, I'm already there, my mind is already there. You can see my home, so mind has such a flickering, you can come back. So,
stubborn.
Sorry?
Stubborn.
Of course, mind is stubborn as well. Yeah. So sometimes you should visit the private home as a chief mind, whose name was Vishuchina. At that time, illusion, satisfaction. Illusion is moha, satisfaction is prasadam, and harsham, happiness, used to be produced from his wife and children. Thus, being thus entangled in different types of material connection, engaged in the fruit activity, King Puranjana came completely under the control of the intelligence or his wife. And was thus cheated. Indeed, he used to fulfill the desires of his wife and the king of his queen. So, just yesterday we heard that how king, he used to come, he was accompanied by a queen. When she sat, he sat. When she ate, he ate. When she laughed, he laughed. So the whole description how he was actually so much enamored and I was controlled by this, you know, the form of a woman or the queen. This is the king. So this is person who is attached to material enjoyment, how it's being under the control of this material illusion of Maya or the form of woman.
Handbag,
yes. And so we find a quite a bit of, like somewhat appears to be a negative description towards a woman, you know, like it's just putting. Actually, when we really analyze, we were just discussing yesterday with Nishapur's class, and Bhakti Prabhu was mentioning the same thing. When we hear this kind of description that, you know, like negatively or put it in that the woman is being described as, you know, in a negative sense, actually, when you really look at what is really being a negative of, not a specific body of a woman, it is being a negative of the form of lust.
Desire
or lust. What is it? If you look at in the female body, when is it a child? We're not really a child. We look at it as very affectionate. When they are old, we don't have any attraction. The attraction of the woman is in the form of when it's a youth, when it's a person. So what is that underlying factor? It's lust. So it's not really condemning a female form, because once, according to our karma, one time we may be aborting the body of a male, and we can be also going to a female body. Female could be vice versa. So it's not really specifically pointing out to the gender. What is the underlying factor is lust. That's what's a condemning factor. So now, this is a summary. We just have gone through this of this chapter with Narayana and how very elaborately describe the position of the living entity in the form of King Puranjana in the body. So today's verse, now we have come to today's verse. So as we read, in this way the King Puranjana was captivated by his nice wife and thus cheated. Indeed, he became cheated in the whole existence, in the material existence, material world. Even against that poor king, foolish king's desire, he remained under the control of his wife, just like a pet animal, pet animal that dances according to order of its master. So today's verse is come to that. What's the word is used? The last line of the sloka is called Kaivalyat Krida Mrigo Yatha. Krida means a playful, Mriga means animal, Yatha means just like. So the material energy. Very similar. Another verse we find, I thought, just looking at this, I found similar word is used by Lord Kapiladev in third canto, describing a same word, similar meaning. He's also describing the description of the illusion the living entity comes to in the form of a woman. In the third canto, chapter 31, text number 34, Lord Kapiladev also gives a similar word of describing a same message. Teshva santesu murheshu khanditatma asadhasu sangam na kurya pichesu yosit krida mrige sucha. Yosit is woman. Krida mrigeshu, here is the same word, krida mrigeshu. It's just like a animal, which is being controlled by either the form of an illusion, illusory or maya, or another form of woman. So what he says, one should not associate with the coarse fool who are bereft of the knowledge of self-realization and who is no more than a dancing dog of a, in the hands of a woman. What a powerful lyrics. It's not me speaking. It's the Lord Kapiladev, who is the Lord Krishna himself, coming and giving us this. He said, hey, be careful. Be aware. This is my maya in the form of a female gender. Another one very, so now the bigger they be saying, hang on, this is my illusion. Balame paschimayaya istri maya jaino disham. Yakaruti padatra kranta rubi jibrena kevalam. What is the power of a woman? Lord Vipraves, just try to understand the mighty strength of my maya. This is Lord Kapiladev, Lord Krishna in the form of Lord Kapiladev instructing us. So just try to understand the mighty strength of maya in the shape of a woman who, by mere movement of her eyebrows, can keep even the greatest conquerors of the world under her grip. This is not me speaking again, this is not me listening. In other words, Lord Kapila, what's Narayana teaching us? Lord Kapila is teaching us, what are they saying? Just be mindful. Maya is very powerful. Just by a mere movement of an eyebrow, one can get attracted and fall down, and spiritual progress can be checked. Very, something else. So, of course, there are many Prabhupada makes quite a few points in the purport. We just actually gone a little bit over time, so I'll probably stop here and ask any questions or comments.
I would comment. I got this email from Vrindavan yesterday.
You got an email from
Vrindavan?
Yes. Yes.
Very bad things, and same thing what Lord Narayanji said. One lady, they gave the name also. Her name is Priyanka Reddy. She was going on a scooter. And somebody punctured her scooter. After puncturing, she was astray. She rang her sister. It's all true story. And sister said, don't stop at the place where the scooter is. Go somewhere where there are other people. So she went there. And then when the sister arrived with her family, she was not there at all. They couldn't find her. What happened? Some gundas took her away, far distance, and did everything and put petrol on her and burned the body. Because strange things happening in India, you can see.
Yes.
So we need Bhagavatam, we need Prasad. But what? We have to learn so many things.
Just
such a situation. That's why Mahaprabhu had to come.
So this is for those who are hearing online, so that
because they want to wipe all the evidences. If the lady gang all the people.
Mahaprabhu
is illusion.
Mahaprabhu was making a point that there was a, he's received the email. mentioning that there was a lady who was trying to fix her scooter. She was abducted by some gundas and had the rapier and burnt the body. What the underlying factor again in this was trying to make it, I think it is lust of a, that lust can bring a person to do such an abominable act.
Lust is coming from the man, it is not from the woman. So you are talking about the topic was the lust of an woman, but it is the lust is coming from the man. I consider this, it is actually nothing to do with this, this spiritual Bhagavad Gita, it is the failure of the institutions. And this everything.
It's lust is not only in the men, lust is prevails across the board. All living entity, as per Bhagavad Gita here, every living entity has characteristics of some form of lust, yes, including male and female. It's
so
not just.
You are part of the prophecy, it is said in the
yes.
So why are you differentiating between the man and the woman? Lust is everyone, so.
Yes, and we're not discriminating between male and female, that's not at all. The point is, yes, again, it's lust that was. Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita asked Lord Krishna, what is that something prevails everyone to commit a sinful act? What is it? Lord Krishna says, lust only, O Arjuna. That prevails, that forces a living entity to commit sinful activities. It's lust. Yes, Prabhu.
Krishna Prabhu, on a different topic. You mentioned during your lecture about karma kanda and sacrifice of animals as part of the activities recommended to the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, it is the same Sanatana that preaches every living entity is of equal value or the life of the mm-hmm. But how can that same religion then also prescribe sacrifice of animals in a certain tradition or a certain line of preaching?
Very good question. But the question is that in the Vedic scriptures there are mention of a certain rituals that allows animal sacrifices, the killing of animal. And why is it being discriminative in terms of allowing such things to happen? Is that correct? We are in this material world. Not everyone is in the platform of transcendence. These killing of animals or sacrifices, they are mentioned for a particular category of a living entity who's got a very strong inclination towards committing these sinful activities. In order they can eat meat. However, in order to prepare this meat, you have to go through this very rigorous, very rituals you have to follow in order to actually you are able to eat. You'll have to have the right paraphernalia, you need to have right type of priest which can perform the sacrifice. At the end of this sacrifice, is performed in such a way that animal which is killed, actually through the power of those mantras, that animal is promoted to a different body, or higher body, if not human body, given a fresh body. If you have a desire to eat meat, yes, you can, but follow these principles and also prove that this animal has been promoted into a higher being. If can be done, yes, it is allowed, you can do that. But there's a whole process and procedures to follow in order to eat meat. If you have inclination to do so, do it this way. But however, it is a lower grade of ritual, of performance. That is,
yes, that's right. I think my question isn't so much about meat eating as well. It's more about other living beings being sacrificed, whether that be for food or for ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? qualitatively we are all one. So why aren't, this could be very controversial, but why aren't humans sacrificed instead of animals, if they were to be sacrificed? Why are the so-called lower consciousness of living being sacrificed?
Yeah, see, I mean, if you look at it, even you're a vegetarian, and plants are living entities, yeah? And we eat plants. So, we, tiger has given a specific things to eat. Tiger, in the body of tiger, it does not come and eat plants. Human beings have given a allowance to eat plants. That's how we survive. We do. Even we eat lambs, there's a killing involved, correct? So, what in the highest level Krishna advises, yes, we eat plants, but you offer to me. Once it's offered to me, that the karma that you incur by killing that plant, I'll take away. And you eat, that prasad becomes a mercy, and that becomes prasad. So therefore, yes, you cannot avoid killing at all, because since we here, as human beings, the plants have a life, we have to kill. But however, that killing is recommended for, that's what we sustain. Our sustenance is in the grain. That's how given is. What we offer to Krishna, and then that whatever the karma we incur, then that Krishna takes care of that. So, yes, we cannot avoid killing, but we do it from certain procedures. Yes, Mataji.
When you mentioned the
tribe
here, on the
material
things, it's understood. Do we, when we get
I mean, I'm going through what Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, and I don't know specifically. I've never given initiation, so I don't know how it's done, but generally that's what Prabhupada mentioned. That right ear is for more of a Karmakanda rituals that mantra is here, and the left hand is more a spiritual, more to hear those mantras. Like Swiss Master gives in the left ear, that's what, in the purple, so...
He said in the purple.
It's in the purple,
and
yeah.
The gap is changed in the left ear.
Mm-hmm. Initiation is mentioned in the left ear. So, that's, I'm not sure that's bad, I'm just going what proper mentioned in the purple, yeah. It's okay.
We mentioned verse that we are controlled by our intelligence. We are being slave of intelligence.
Yes.
Does that mean we have to give up intelligence? How not to become slave of intelligence?
No. Intelligence, actually, mind and intelligence. These are the two factors, that the two main predominant controlling our senses. Yeah, the chief of these. So, gross senses, higher than that is mind, higher than that is intelligence. So, what happens between intelligence and mind is sometimes the mind controls intelligence, whereas intelligence should control the mind. Once the mind is controlled, the intelligence actually is a very positive, always gives you positive instruction. Mind is always flickering. Mind will always give you, okay, do that, something in a negative sense. The intelligence is always positive. If you want to, like for example, if you want to go to the bank and then you see a lot of money and somebody's counting, the mind will tell you, hey, there's money, let's go and take. And then there's the intelligence also giving you a choice and say, hang on, that's not yours. So there's two functions, there's mind and center, they're all the same, almost, but as per it should be, mind should be controlled under the intelligence, then it's a better function. Yeah. I think we should end this instead of it. We can offline maybe, it's just not tricky. Thank you very much. Tatrasya Madhagavatam Ki, Tatrasya Prabhupada Ki.